Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this special Christmas replay from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of... This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we've got a very special show planned for you today. In fact, I pray you can grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, nestle in, and I just want you to be ministered to today because we're going to talk about Advent, the meaning of Advent. What does it mean to prepare our hearts for this season? Well, Advent means arrival. It means coming. And so for generations, Christians have engaged in the Advent season to prepare their hearts to celebrate and honor the fact that Jesus, think about it, on his throne in heaven, took off that robe, stepped into the cosmos, entered the womb of a virgin girl, and born in a place where animals graze. Try to imagine. You know, it wasn't that it was an oversight that God forgot to call ahead and get him a hotel. It was so purposeful that Jesus came for the lowliest of the low in a day of incredible crisis and evil and opposition. And he came so that we could know that he came for us. Well, I love the idea of Advent because it's so easy to rush headlong into the holiday season and feel yourself more stressed than blessed, to get caught up in the rat race. And how often do you hear yourself and even other Christians saying, can't wait till this holiday's over? First, I get excited and I'm planning, but then I overcommit, overeat, overspend, and then I just can't wait for it to get over so I can get back to my disciplined life. Well, I want to submit to you that God maybe has something different for us this holiday season. When you think about the idea of arrival, of coming, Jesus came, but he's coming again. And his return is nearer than it's ever been. Never in my lifetime have I felt such an urgency around an Advent season. He came as a baby. He's coming again as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of Judah. And so to me, if there were ever a time to lean in with holy expectancy, it is absolutely right now. You know, Jesus said it'll be as in the days of Noah when he returns. People were given to drunkenness, to partying. They were completely oblivious to times that they were in. Why do we do that? I think so often people numb out because they're trying hard not to feel a pain that they've been ignoring for so long. But that's not without consequence. The fact that if you keep numbing your pain so you don't have to feel it, so you don't give God an opportunity to heal it, you numb your pain, you numb and dull your hearing as well. And there is a day of accountability for those who are partying, because I don't want to feel the pain in my heart. There will be a day when Jesus returns. It'll be too late to make any other decisions about what to do with your pain, what to do with your sin. And the thing is, we as believers can go in that direction without even realizing it. You know, we try hard not to feel a certain pain that we've been ignoring for way too long. You know, we've all walked through so much in those last 2 years. We've all had losses and hurts and disappointments. We've been disrupted by narratives that don't always feel true or even ring true. So what are we to do? Well, I think the temptation is real. It's to throw caution to the wind this holiday season and just have some fun for the next several weeks. You know, nothing wrong with wanting to take a break from the stresses of life and celebrate. That's a biblical concept, actually. And it can be super healthy and super healing to do. But there's a big difference between decadent indulgence so I don't have to feel and a holy and divine celebration. You know, on one hand, throwing caution to the wind, overeating, overspending, overindulging will cause us to exit this year toxic and will arrive in the next year lethargic, full of regret, with all kinds of lost ground that we need to regain. Or we can enter this season with a measure of restraint and perspective and authenticity. And I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I'm saying this could be your most holy, miraculous season yet. If you practice some restraint, this is not to say we don't gather around the table and enjoy a feast. You absolutely should. But have you noticed that when you practice restraint in certain areas, when it is time to treat yourself, everything tastes better, everything feels better? I submit to you that God has some things he wants to show you as you exit this year. There's some baggage that he wants you to leave behind. There are some lies you picked up when life let you down. There are hurts in your heart that God wants to heal. And there's vision and purpose that he wants to impart. But you're not going to experience any of that if you use this holiday season solely as an opportunity to numb out and not feel. Jesus came to earth right in the middle of all kinds of crisis, oppression, and evil intent. He came, and he's coming again. So what if you approach this Advent season with a fresh sense of holy expectancy? What if you dared to create some time and sacred space to meet with the living God? What might he want to say to you? Well, I'm so thrilled at Faith Radio that we are so committed to Bible reading, and we are reading through Luke's gospel in this time, this holy, sacred season. And I'm also going to be drawing in this hour from my book, Prepare Him Room, which walks through Luke's gospel. And I will tell you, Prepare Him Room was inspired a couple of years ago when we as a team at Faith Radio read through the gospel then. I was so moved by Luke's gospel and his account of Jesus' life that I had to write about it. And I want you to know we've got 4 copies to give away today, which is kind of a big deal only because they're selling out everywhere and we're down to the bare bones. I said, please, Kevin, please, 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 can I give away 4 copies? So I've got some 10 packs of quote cards and 4 copies for 4 of you. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. I'm asking you, create some sacred space this season. What does that look like? Well, it may mean that you have, look at your calendar, look at what you want to happen in this holiday season, and X out on your calendar plans not to have plans, where you're just home. It may mean, you know what, for this month, I'm turning off the news notifications on my phone. I'm going to limit my input and intake of bad news, because the good news is so much better than the bad news. And of course, we want to know what's going on in the world, but there is a time and a space to go, you know what, not today and not tomorrow either. I need to hear from the Lord. I need to hear what he has to say about my very real life. You know, make no mistake about it. These are trying times. These are super concerning times. But do you know that when Jesus came, people were being crucified right outside the city gates? That when Jesus came, that God's people were under profound oppression from the Romans? When Jesus came, there was injustice all over the place, corruption all over the place, rigid leadership that never took to heart the heart of the person. These are trying times. Those were trying times. Jesus came, and he's coming again. I want you to hear this song by Casting Crowns, Somewhere in Your Silent Night. And I want you to believe with all of your heart that Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's God with you. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And I submit to you, it is utterly possible that God is preparing you for a Christmas miracle. So don't miss him. Don't miss his voice. Don't miss time in his presence. Christmas is for Christians. Christmas is for the lost who need Jesus. Christmas is a time not for commercialized, overspending, overindulging, overdoing it in a way that just puts noise in our ears. Christmas is a time to receive our King. Let's listen in.
All is calm and all is bright everywhere, but in your heart tonight, they're singing carols of joy and peace, but you feel too far gone and too far out of reach. Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears the song your broken heart has cried. Hope is here, just lift your head, for love has come to find you somewhere in your silent night.
heaven's height to manger low. There is no distance the Prince of Peace won't go. From manger low to Calvary's hill, when your pain runs deep, His love runs deeper still. He has always loved you, child, and He always will. Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears the song.
Back in a minute.
Love will find you. Love will find you. And now God is with us.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live.
He's come to save us.
Song play out. It chokes me up every time I think about that, that He's with us. He is for us. I'm Suzy Larson. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Doing something a little different today, honoring the Advent season. I'm working my way a little bit through my devotional Prepare Him Room, which is based on Luke's Gospel. Got four copies to give away today, which I'm thrilled about because, again, they're just sold out everywhere. We just got a few copies left. Thanks to my dear hubby for letting me set aside four. For you, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And I'm looking at Luke chapter 1. Daniel Darling wrote this. He says, the message of Christmas is not about manufacturing sentimental feelings in vain hopes of a miracle. It's about believing the reality that God has birthed something new in Jesus, and because of this, God will birth something new in you and in me. And that newness is breaking out still today in the hearts of God's people amidst a broken world. Something new. Think about that. When it comes to the lives and the hearts of God's people, He's always up to something new. And though we really love to look for signs and subtle shifts in circumstance, it's such a gift to sense God's presence and receive insight from His Word. He's working even when we can't see Him, even when we can't feel Him, even when we can't sense Him. He's working continually. He's listening to our prayers. He's faithfully interceding for us. He's orchestrating circumstances that, when they're displayed in all their fullness, will reveal God's fatherly heart for His children. Those plans will unveil His meticulous attention to detail, and they'll leave us breathless. Just imagine that. All of heaven is for us. All of heaven is for you. What joy when the breakthrough finally comes. What a blessing when he reminds us that he is a keeper of his promises. But how do we navigate before the breakthrough comes? What are we to do with our disappointments? How do we frame our heartbreaks in light of God's promises? Righteous and barren, honorable and heartbroken. Hard to put those words together, but that is how Scripture described Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey the Lord's commands, but they had no children. They loved and honored God, even though their quiet home reminded them daily God hadn't come through for them in a way they'd hoped. So what happens in your heart when God doesn't give you what you want? Do you loosen your grip on what you know to be true? Do you wander from the very things that keep your soul free and whole? I'd say especially at Christmas time, we tend to gravitate towards indulgence because we'd prefer to feel a surface level of happiness rather than to acknowledge the pain that's buried beneath the surface. But our loving Savior, well, he beckons us back to honesty so he can lead us to a better place of expectancy. You know what? He never overlooks our prayers. He never underestimates our worth. He delights in every detail of your life. Confident hope is your birthright. Because you belong to him. Hear that again. Confident hope is your birthright because you belong to him. You know, there was a day with Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were people of depth and vision. They honored God because they saw God as who he was, even if in the time he wasn't giving them what they wanted. But then one day their story took a turn. Scripture says, as it happened. One of these days, I'm going to do a study on all the as it happens in Scripture, all these, you know, sudden turn of events that took a long time to come. God ordained it for Zechariah to enter the temple to offer sacrifices. And I'm not sure what Zechariah expected, but I think it's safe to say he was not at all prepared for what was about to happen. He was alone until he wasn't. Right before his eyes, an angel of the Lord visibly appeared, spoke audibly to Zechariah. This was not a dream or vision. This happened. I want you to imagine Zechariah's response. His cheeks flushed. His heart raced. He forgot to breathe. He was shaken to his core, and he was overwhelmed with fear. Think about that. Even though Zechariah righteously loved and honored God, he was speechless when God actually finally moved in his life. I want you to think about how powerful that encounter was because the angel announced the promise that this dear couple would have a son. That this boy would be great in the eyes of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus would say of John, no greater man was born to a woman. Well, then the Lord sent Gabriel on another assignment to Nazareth. Gabriel appeared before Mary, and he called her highly favored of God. And he announced that she would give birth to a son, the Son of the Most High God. In Luke 1, verses 35 to 37, it says this, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age. Now listen to this next line. People used to say she was barren. But she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. People used to say Elizabeth was barren. But no more. Do you believe God's capable of changing the narrative of your story? Can you embrace the idea that he wants to do such a thing for you? So what if you engage your faith this Advent season? What if you decided to believe for the impossible? What if you prioritize things you know are necessary? What if you dared to lift your request before the Lord? Are you ready to dream again? I'd say it's time for expectancy to make a comeback. So I challenge you, friend, step out of the hustle bustle of the season. Find a quiet place to rest and reflect. What comes to the surface for you? Have your delays impacted you? Are you mad? Sad? Expectant? Glad? Most of us tend to loosen our grip when we lose heart. Yet it's precisely the time to lean in and engage our faith. It takes great maturity to embrace holy contentment and holy expectancy simultaneously. But great things happen in that one who holds fast to faith and peace and gratitude. Though God often answers our prayers in ways different than we expect, he will answer because he is Emmanuel. God is with you. So go about your daily duties with a renewed sense of his presence. Be joyful. Be thankful. Embrace expectancy. When God moves in and upon your circumstances, dare to pray what Mary prayed. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. As we go to this break, I want you to hear the song, Here Comes Heaven. Think about it. Here comes heaven. Let's listen.
Children weep no more. Hope is on the horizon. Weary world, behold your promised Messiah. Angels, let your soul.
There is no one like our God, no one like our King. We'll be back in a minute. This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live.
Like a fire inside, it touches every part. This Christmas is all in the heart.
Hope you're having a really great day. Suzy Larson here. Such a special hour. We are walking through Advent together. We're exploring the idea. Advent means coming. It means arrival. And for generations, Christians have taken the previous four Sundays to Christmas to celebrate, to light a candle, to lean in, to say, man, Jesus came to earth. Our King came to seek and save the lost. And as I said at the open of the show, I've never felt more passionate and urgent and expectant about an Advent season than I do this one. Because Jesus' return is nearer than it's ever been. We need to live with holy expectancy. In fact, in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, if I find you living ready when I return, I will put an apron on myself and sit you down and serve you. Living ready, living with expectancy, is a call of God on those of us who follow Christ. And yet the temptation is, because of where we've been in the last 2 years, to just go, I just want to throw caution to the wind. I just want to party down. I just want to have a good time. And I'm not trying to be a killjoy here. I do want us to gather around our tables and enjoy a good feast. I want us to put music on and have fun decorating our tree. But there's a vast difference between all kinds of indulgence so that I don't have to feel the things that I'm trying not to feel, and presence where we say, Jesus, I'm inviting you in. You came as a baby. You're returning as a king, and you are Emmanuel right here, right now. You're with me. So I'm inviting you into my very real story. Show me the lies I picked up when life let me down. Show me the baggage that I am dragging with me that you want me to leave in this year as I exit and enter into the next year. What are the new promises you want to fulfill? Maybe there's a word that you have for me for 2022 that you want me to think on and ponder because it's something that you want to fulfill in my life. Well, we've got four copies of my book, Prepare Him Room, where I walk through Luke's gospel. And again, I'm just super excited about that because they sold out everywhere real fast. There's a few places that have 100 copies here, 100 copies there, but they're getting harder and harder to come by. And my dear hubby gave me four copies to give away to you today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Over 2,000 years ago, shepherds stood on a hillside, as they had done countless times before. They were likely guarding sheep that would later serve as a sacrifice at the temple. But I want you to imagine what a night's work might look like for them. The stars overhead, the moon shone brightly. Animal noises filled the air as shepherds bantered back and forth. And here again, you find unsuspecting souls going about their daily duties, unaware that heaven is about to invade earth. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Picture this. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. You know, that first Christmas was anything but commercialized, anything but hurried, anything but overdone. Jesus came into the world through the womb of a poor, virgin teenage girl and was born in a cave and placed in an animal trough. The world didn't make room for him. Still, heaven celebrated him. Those with ears bent towards heaven discerned his presence on earth. The power of the Most High God rested upon this little makeshift gathering of shepherds, a baby, and his young parents. But much of the world missed him then, just as many in the world miss him now. Yet he came to us anyway. What a gift God has given us. Interestingly, as Jesus grew up, some recognized him immediately because they'd been watching for him. Others, on the other hand, actually observed his miracles. They watched him fulfill prophecies before their very eyes. Yet still, they refused to believe. Every heart needs him. Few are really willing to receive him. In her Bible study, Secret Jesus Shared, Jennifer Kennedy Dean wrote this. She said, every step that Jesus took on planet Earth, the spiritual realm was shouting, this is what God is like. As he healed and he taught and he touched and he laughed and he loved, this is what God is like. As he hung broken on the cross, this is what God is like. When he rose from the grave and triumphed over death, this is what God is like. Have you noticed it? Celebrities, pop stars, high-level leaders typically have this entourage that serve them. They anticipate and they meet their needs, someone to cook, clean, run errands, run interference. Imagine what that would do to your ego if you had people to open doors, serve you, treat you like you're more important than you actually are. Many in positions of power or prosperity often leverage that privilege in a way that benefits them but unfairly costs others. Listen to this, friend. Before there was time, there was Jesus. Everything created came through him. He's the star-breathing God. He's the king of the universe. He's the savior of the world. Yet Jesus did not even consider equality with God something to manipulate for his benefit. In fact, he did exactly the opposite. He leveraged his status as God because he could, for our benefit, even though it cost him his life. Prideful people won't even wait on hold unless they're talking to someone more prideful and more seemingly important than themselves. But Jesus stands at the door of your heart and he knocks and he waits. And then he lets you decide if you'll receive your king. Asherita Chuchu wrote this. She says, "We do not trifle with a weakling, nor do we worship an incompetent wannabe rock star. We worship the King of Kings, who deserves all the honor and the glory and continually receives it from the heavens, creation, angels, and the chorus of his redeemed. Who is this King of glory? His name is Jesus." I love that Jesus, the King of the universe, you know what? He's not a tyrannical leader. He's the Savior of the world. And this Christmas story, it's not old news. It is good news. It is now news. Salvation isn't just an addendum to the end of your life. And Christmas isn't just a quaint little story. When Jesus was born, God's kingdom came to earth. So friend, I challenge you, do not let another moment pass by without giving God the glory he deserves. He sent his son to die in your place. Celebrate with joy. Give meaningful gifts to those you love. Help the poor. Enjoy a good party. But refuse to let the commercialism of Christmas quench the true spirit of this earth-shaking holiday. Jesus came, and he's coming again. Worship the King of Glory, for he has done great things. Before we pray, play this next song, I want to just read this prayer from Prepare Hymn Room. Jesus, my Savior, you came. You saw a world desperately in need, and you came. I receive your gift of grace. I believe you died in my place. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit, and show me how to live in a manner worthy of your name. The holidays quickly become self-indulgent noise if you're not in them. So fill my home, my family, and my heart with the wonder of your love and the wonder of your presence. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope
Listening to an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Suzy Larson here. We've got a really special program today, talking through the Gospel of Luke in honor of the Advent season. I've got four copies of my Advent devotional, which looks at Luke's Gospel one chapter at a time. Prepare hymn room. Super excited that I have these four to give away because there's, I think Amazon maybe has 50 copies left. Books a Million, I think, has, I don't know, a couple hundred left. We've just got a few. So they're going, and they're going to be gone till next year. So you can text the word book to 877-933-2484 if you want in on the drawing for, and we'll also include the 10 pack of quote cards. They're just beautiful. But Advent, it means arrival. It means coming. And we are not just anticipating to celebrate the arrival of Jesus as a baby. We are nearer than we've ever been before to Jesus' return. And he invites us, charges us even, to live ready, live expectantly, to be about the Father's business. And the temptation, as I've been saying this past hour, is when you've accumulated hurts and losses and disappointments, much as we have in these last 2 years, the temptation is to go, I just need a good party. You know, and there's something about that, absolutely, to break free from the stresses and have a good feast. Actually a very biblical concept, but it's so different to engage in decadent indulgence so you don't have to feel the stuff that's been buried in the surface. You know, when you're spending more money than you ought, eating and drinking more than you ought. This isn't legalism. This really is about trying hard not to feel something that Jesus actually wants to heal. So the invitation then is to say, Lord, I'm entering into this season. There's joys and sorrows in my life. There are things I'm so grateful for and things that are breaking my heart. But this is the true Christmas message. Jesus, you came into the middle of all those messes to save us, to heal us, to redeem us. He came to bring you shalom. So not even just to save you from the penalty of sin, which is everything, and it could be, that would be enough if that was the only reason he came, but to redeem and restore your story, your soul, to uproot the lies that you picked up when life let you down, to heal the wounds that you've encountered and endured because of living on a fallen planet, to use you in ways that are totally disproportionate to who you are. To give you a shalom peace that passes understanding. you know, during the second week of battling COVID, you know, this thing hit my lungs way harder than I ever expected it to. But I just got into a place of submission and surrender with the Lord, and peace came. Like, honestly, I have never known before. I'm lying face down a lot in my bed because it's a good way to oxygenate your lungs. And the joy of the Lord was my strength, the sense of his nearness, the sense of his delight in my life. I can't even, it was shalom like I've never experienced it before. And the only thing I can think of that I kind of did differently with the Lyme mold junk that I have to deal with, I have to be very disciplined with supplements and medicine and the timing of when I take those throughout the day. It's like a full-time job. And then you add in COVID and how it impacted my lungs, added in more medicines and nebulizer treatments. And I, you know, I'm so diligent that if I'm doing something wrong, I'm doing it diligently wrong. And so I came to this place because there was so much to manage with all of that, that Lord, I just give you my intentions. And I receive your amazing grace. I just gave you my intentions to try to, I'm not going to do it perfectly, but I just, my intention is to steward this well. And then I receive your grace that covers everything else. That was my simple prayer over and over again. And peace just flooded my soul. What if you did that this season? Lord, I don't compare to so-and-so's party. My house doesn't compare. My bank account doesn't compare. You know, whatever, who cares? But I give you my intentions to steward the life you've entrusted to me, all of the heartbreaks, the not yets. And I receive your amazing, amazing grace. I told this story another time on the show. I think it was on Bill's show I shared it. But in the early years, I had this Christmas fantasy, super unhealthy Christmas fantasy, but it was mine, all right? But I love Christmas. You know, we've got two of our three sons have Christmas birthdays. I have a Christmas birthday, which I wouldn't recommend. But anyway, but my parents always made Christmas a really precious time. I just love the holiday. I love Jesus. I love the festivity of it all. And but so many of our hardships, our crises happened at Christmas time. And so the contrast of my friends who had their health and their wealth, perfectly decorated homes and perfect looking Christmas cookies and the best of Christmas music on, I had none of that. We were in and out of ER with respiratory viruses with our little ones and bill collectors calling us and sick body. And I really hated my life. I love my hubby. I love my kids, but I hated my life. And I longed just to have some ease from the battle. And so every time I would see these Christmas commercials of the children all sitting in a row, all dressed up, all clean, and the mom, I don't know, baking in her high heels, not that I would ever plan to do that, in her dress, pulling out the cookies, and they're all perfect, you know? Just, I had this fantasy, like, someday, that will be mine. And there was one Christmas where it looked like it was to be for me. I started to feel a little bit better. We had a few dollars in our account, barely anything, but still. And it just felt like maybe the winds of change are blowing for us. And the previous spring, Kev's wonderful parents gave us their big, giant artificial tree because they were doing some house cleaning. We had this little fake Charlie Brown Christmas tree. So I knew going into this particular season, I got a big old tree. You know, this could be my year. And I remember the day, and it just dates me a little bit, but we had our cassette player playing the Chipmunks' Christmas. That's what the kids were singing to and listening to. They're pulling the tinsel out of the box, singing songs. I'm baking cookies. It was a super happy day. And my dear hubby has this little habit where he rubs his nose when he's not sure of himself. Like he's, you know, like I'll be asking, hey, do you sure you know where we're going? Yeah, it's up here. You know, rub his nose. I'm like, okay. I don't think you really know. Anyway, I love my hubby. That's just this little thing that he does. But so I peeked out into the living room. I said, how's it going? And he rubbed his nose. And I'm like, oh, what's the matter? What's the matter? Long story short, in the previous spring cleaning season, he threw out accidentally a good portion of the big tree and even a portion of the Charlie Brown tree, which I do not know how that happened. But all over the living room floor were pieces of trees that did not go together, branches that pointed every which way. And he just knew how much was riding on this for me. So he's like, it's going to be okay, hon bun. Go get me my screw gun. And son, I need the extension cord. And before you knew it, this living room turned into a construction zone. And he was drilling holes. And the kids went from singing about tinsel to sawdust. And the house was a disaster. And I burnt the cookies. No lie, the cassette tape ate the tape. And this is how my life was back then. It's just how it went. So I just thought, okay, it is what it is. So I kissed my hubby on the top of the head. It was nighttime. I'm like, putting the kids to bed. Honey, we don't need a tree this year. We'll be fine. And I crawled into bed. In the middle of the night, I realized he wasn't there. So I walked out to the living room in the middle of the night. I mean, I don't know how late it was, pretty late. But Kev was sitting in front of a cleaned up living room, a perfect medium tree. And he was holding the control to the lights like they were control to a race car. And he says, I almost made it rotate, but I decided to stop while I was ahead. And this tree was perfect. And I was overcome with emotion. Because the Lord just ambushed me. And he said, Susie, I know your life feels like what this living room looked like a few hours ago. But Kevin had a vision for this tree, very capable of putting this together. I have a vision for your life that you can't see right now because you're right in the middle of a mess. But I want you to trust me. And I crawled into Kev's lap and he wrapped his arms around me and I cried my eyes out. I said, we're going to be okay, aren't we? And he said, we are. You know, we weren't ready for the big tree. We were ready for the medium tree. And what it did was it boiled down our Christmas once again. I wanted the commercial stuff. I did. I wanted just once to enjoy all the commercial festivities. And there, in years past, we have had plenty of beautiful, wonderful Christmases. But there's something about being boiled down to when Jesus is all you have, you realize really he's all you need. So as we get ready to wrap here, I want you to hear. I wish I had time to play the whole song. We're going to play as much as we can. Give Me Jesus by Danny Gokey.
Oh, 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 give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, oh, give me Jesus, you can have all. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus.
A blessed and beautiful Advent season. Let earth receive her King.
Give me Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show again.